Before we get into today's episode, I want to invite you on a unique spiritual journey this Advent season. It's called Journey to Bethlehem, and it's a free 9-day text message series designed to prepare your heart for Christmas. Starting on December the 17th, each day leading up to Christmas, you'll receive a short reflective message pointing you to the hope, peace, joy, and love found in the coming of Christ. It's completely free and a great way to keep your focus on Jesus this season. Why not sign up today at premierinsight.org/resources? That's premierinsight.org/resources. Now, here's today's podcast.
Hello, friends. I'm Rick Warren, and welcome to Spurgeon Sermons. This is the official podcast brought to you by Premier and Spurgeon's College. You know, the teachings of Charles Spurgeon have had a personal impact on my life in a profound way, and I'm confident they'll do the same for you. So get ready to be challenged, equipped, and guided by Charles Spurgeon, who is universally regarded as the greatest English preacher in the history of the church.
The Heroic in Christianity, a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, part 1. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 32 to 34. Brethren in Christ, every word which proceeds out of our Master's lips is precious to us. We make no distinction between his promises and his precepts, but prize every syllable above rubies. A doctrine from him we value beyond much fine gold, and a command is equally high in our esteem. Whether his teaching be practical or doctrinal, whether it be intended to guide the feet or to encourage the heart, we are equally rejoiced at it. All his words are music, though they make us weep, infinitely tender, infinitely deep. All the discourses of Jesus are the words of God to our soul, whether they convey to us instruction, warning, rebuke, invitation, or consolation. As all his garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, so are all his words most sweet to our taste. We have not so learned Christ as to be pickers and choosers when the fruits of his lips are before us. Yet have I known professing Christians of that sort, who would fain rend the Master's clothes, that they might have only the softest part of it to be a pillow for their idle heads. That, they say, was a gospel sermon, sweet food for our souls, because it happened to tell of what Christ has done for us. But on the next occasion they cry out, that was not a gospel sermon, it was legal. It laid a burden upon our shoulders, because it dared to tell of what Christ has commanded us to do for him. Such people, it seems to me, accept Christ for a servant rather than for a master. They are glad that he shall do this or that for them, that he shall in fact gird himself and wait at their table while they sit down to meat. But if they had learned better, they would have chosen Christ for a master and would have been willing to gird themselves at his command and wait on their Lord, counting it their honour to be servants of so divine a prince. Feeling certain that you are not of that order of religious complainers, but that you will accept anything that comes from Christ, I am glad to have a practical subject this morning. The Sermon on the Mount is as full of light to you as the Transfiguration on the Mount. You are as glad to hear what the Son of God has to say by way of precept as to hear what the Father had to say by way of recognition of his Son. As for this sermon in the plain, it was preceded by miracles, but it is as forcible to you as the signs and wonders could have made it, had you seen them all. The sick touched his garment and were restored, and those who were possessed of devils were healed. You rejoice at the miracles of Christ, but you see him to be as mighty in word as in deed, and you adore him for his gracious teachings, which remain to us after his miracles have ceased. Here you have certain of the words of Christ, and may his Spirit bless them to your hearts. Brethren, in the matters of which I shall have to speak this morning, in the name of the Lord, taken, as I am quite certain, from his own words, there will be some things strange and unusual which may possibly sound harshly in your ears. Be not astonished, for the gospel is one of those thoughts of God which are not our thoughts. The whole system which Christ has ushered in is foreign to men, being as far above them as the heavens are above the earth. Our Lord's kingdom is not of this world, else would his servants do many things which now they forbear to do. The conduct of the subjects of that kingdom must not be measured by the manners of others, for they are a people as peculiar as the kingdom to which they belong. We have heard persons say, "I do not see it to be my duty to be so precise. It is not customary." What have you and I to do with custom? If things are right but not in fashion, let us start the fashion. And when it is the fashion to do wrong, let us be desperately unfashionable. Our Master, evidently from the verses before us, did not come into the world to teach us to conform to the ways of our fellow men, but he would have us go far beyond the ordinary conduct of our fellows. He asked in his Sermon on the Mount, "What do ye more than others?" He ordains a standard far above the common standard of mankind when he says again and again, "What thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same." Oh, one may say at the close of my sermon, the preacher demands more of us than can reasonably be expected from flesh and blood. Your charge is correct. But then the preacher is not addressing himself to you as to flesh and blood, but as to those who are possessed of a far higher principle, namely the indwelling Spirit of God. True believers walk not after the flesh, nor do they mind the things of it, for they are clothed with the energy of the Spirit of God, and by his power their lives are lifted above the common walks of men. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, ye are of another nature than the men of this world. And it is to be expected that ye should live after a nobler fashion. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We live under a Spirit whose law is perfection, and therefore a little fault causes us much self-condemnation. We judge ourselves by a more severe rule than we would apply to others, for our privileges and responsibilities are exceptionally great. I allow in other men what I would denounce in myself. I could approve in some men actions which to me also would be lawful, but would not be expedient, upon the higher rule of glorifying God in all things. When I have heard of certain deeds of unconverted and unenlightened men, I have excused them, saying, "Poor souls, considering who they were and where they were, their conduct is not so heavily to be blamed." And yet if I had behaved one half as badly, there would have been rebellion and presumption in the deed. For favoured children there is a different law from that which governs common subjects. That which is passed over in strangers is atrocious when it comes from a close friend. You are not under law, but under grace. And being under grace, you feel the force of a constraint even holier and higher than mere law could put upon you. If you are what you profess to be, my brethren, more is expected from you than from any other people beneath the sun. And therefore I shall throw aside all hesitancy in setting before you a supreme standard and asking of you what we never can get from sinners, nor from people of the world. Do you not know that your Lord has said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven"? If I were called to address an ordinary company of men and women upon feats of valour, I might speak with bated breath if I exhorted them to heroism in war. But if I had lived some thousands of years ago and had been called upon to talk to Spartan warriors, all equipped for battle, men graved and scored with the scars of conflict, I should set no bounds to my exhortations. I would bestir them as a lion arouses the young lions and urges them to the prey. I should tell them that their name and parentage should not be disgraced by the idea of defeat, but that they must expect victory and seize it as their right. No orator would have spoken to Spartans as to Boeotians. It was their very life and business to fight, and deeds of prowess were therefore to be looked for from them. Is it not so with you, you followers of the crucified? Your martyrs and confessors call upon you to lead a life beyond that of common men and women. I say all this because to certain of you a sort of apology may seem needful for the strong things that may be said before you at this time. May God's Holy Spirit come upon you and make you strong enough for all the strong things, glorifying Himself in your weakness.
Thank you for listening, friends. This podcast was brought to you by Premier in association with Spurgeon's College. For more Christian podcasts, sermons, and music, head back to the website premier.plus and sign in for free.
Have you ever found yourself wondering if it's still possible to have civil conversations in today's culture wars? That's exactly why we want to send you a brand new and exclusive booklet called Arguing for the Sake of Heaven, a look at the life and legacy of Charlie Kirk. This compelling resource reflects on Charlie's legacy and the controversies he sparked, but more importantly, it explores how we can recover the art of disagreeing agreeably. In a polarized world, how do we defend free speech, speak the truth in love, and pursue truth without fear? I believe this is a resource that every thoughtful Christian should have. And right now, it's our special thanks to you for your gift to Premier Insight. Your support helps ensure that content like this podcast and so many others continue reaching people who are searching for wisdom, truth, and hope. So I encourage you to give today by visiting premierinsight.org/Spurgeon. That's premierinsight.org/Spurgeon to receive your copy today. Now let's get back to today's episode.